Okay, and it's 7 o'clock. You are listening to Redwood Community Radio, KMUD, Garberville, 91.1 FM, KMUE, Eureka, 88.1 FM, KLAI, Laytonville, 90.3 FM, FM Translator K258BQ, Shelter Cove, 99.5 FM. Live and on demand online at kmud.org. And let's see here. We got. I'm going to take it over to our studio where we have some guests from our board. Let's see. Studio B. Okay. Are you out there?
Hey, good evening, K Mutters.
Hello. Yeah.
All right.
Hello. Hello.
We're good.
Okay, we're on.
Yeah, we're on. Well, good evening, K Mutters. We're delighted to be here from Beginnings out in Bryceland. I'm Peter Rice. I'm one of the founders of Beginnings, and I've been on the board for the last 50 years. And we have a lot of history to share. And along with me is Justine Anderson, a former teacher at Beginnings and a board member at Beginnings, and a longtime supporter. We also have Michelle Palazzo, who's the head teacher at Children's House and has been there for over 20 years. She's a great supporter of both Beginnings and the community and the children that we all live with. And we also have our executive director, and she also will tell us some, Julia Anderson, who will also tell us some stories about what she's learned and what she shared in the Beginnings community.
So
let's see. Let me give you a little scoop of the history.
Yeah.
Beginnings was incorporated in 1974, but Children's House started in 1973, a year before. It was started at the Presbyterian Church in Garberville, and we were there with a 2.5 to 6 year old age group program in the fireside room, and we were there for 2 years before we had to leave because the Presbyterian Church needed the fireside room for some of their own activities. And we were delighted to have been there for a couple of years and get established. And we moved to Redway, to Lower Redway, to the old Redwood-sited, I think it was a party house that was down on the river there. And we were there for another year. And during that time, we were looking for a place to land. And we had a group of us that were looking for appropriate land that was not far from town, but in the country. And I guess I want to say right from the get-go, Beginnings has always been a community organization. It's always been something that's been done by everybody working collectively, cooperatively, and mostly by consensus to reach the kind of decisions that were necessary to move the organization along. In 1974, when we incorporated Beginnings, we were really one of the first nonprofit corporations in this area of the new kind of back-to-the-land movement that was happening at the time. And we were kind of a founding member of the nonprofit world. And we'll talk a little bit later about some of the other organizations that both started with us or were outgrowths of our organization. Let's see, and I was talking about looking for the land. After we were in Lower Redway, we found a piece of land in Bryceland. Bob McKee, who was an educator himself, owned that land. It was one of the last parcels of the Bryceland Ranch that had not been sold yet for a variety of reasons. It didn't really have water. It didn't have a lot of trees. It wasn't the kind of land that a lot of the new settlers were looking for. But he showed it to us. He and Michael Evanson showed it to us and said, how about here? Mm-hmm. And And we said, well, where is here? And he says, well, where do you want to be here? So we just kind of waved our hand at the ridge line and said, how about everything we see? And that was the first 13 acres that were beginnings. And it took us over 2 years to come up with our down payment to put the land in escrow. And the whole time, Bob had faith in us and said, hey, you know, whatever it takes, I like what you're doing. I like to see an education community get developed and started on this land. And so that propelled us forward, and we were able to move the children's house, which was a 2.5 to 6-year-old program, out to a trailer that was on that land. But by that time, some of our first children had reached that 6-year age threshold, and we're looking for what happens next. And a group of the parents and some of the teachers who were there at the time started talking about creating an elementary program that would follow our Children's House Montessori program. And Marty Wansick was asked for, he and some of the other kids that were there at the time were asked for a name, and they came up with the name of Skyfish. And so the elementary school was born, and it didn't have any housing. We were just in that trailer.
Well, then when we were in the army tent for a while.
That came a little.
As winter
closed in and the trailer really wasn't big enough for 2.5 to 12-year-olds, we needed more space, and Jan and Tony Manguel, I think, were able to obtain this old army surplus tent, which we set up out in the meadow and moved Skyfish out there, and that was there.
So you had 2.5 to 12-year-olds all in the same space for a while.
Yes,
that
we did.
Must have been fun.
It doesn't work.
Yikes!
Let me tell you, it doesn't work.
No.
So those were the early beginnings, and when I turn it over to some of the rest of you to continue the story, and then we can come back.
Justine, when did you arrive on the scene at Beginnings?
Well, we moved up here in 1979, and then in 1982 I started working for children.
Uh-oh.
And the teacher who was doing first grade at the time turned out to be inadequate, I guess is the word. And so I said, well, I have my credential. I guess I might as well do it.
Okay.
And so I started doing the first grade, at which point I think we were in the Octagon.
No.
Not yet.
What year was that? 82?
83. That would have been 83.
Yeah, we could have been in the Octagon. Yeah.
And everybody was in the Octagon together, and it was really...
loud.
Very loud and very impossible.
So...
So maybe I should interject here a little bit about buildings. We were in the trailer, and then we set up that tent out in the meadow, and the Children's House program stayed in the trailer, and the Skyfish Elementary program moved out to the tent. But it became very apparent that we needed more buildings. We needed some buildings anyway, and so there was a group that came together that included. Jeff Canope was the architect, and Jan Iris was there, and John Mahoney was there, and
Earl Rosenblum,
and mm-hmm. Earl Rosenblum, and Rosie, Rosie was there, and there were a number of people who came together, and we started talking about what kind of building and where it would be. Jan was really insistent on it being a large open space without any pillars in the middle. And we talked about the fact that a hogan, which is the Native American gathering place in the Southwest, was a place of celebration and coming together for unity. And Jeff Canope was listening to all this, and he came up with this idea of the Octagon. And everybody thought that was a good idea. And he drew up some plans, and the plans involved a very complex construction of after you got the platform up and the pillars holding up the roof. The roof was a large compression and tension ring to hold the weight of the roof and to keep the space open in the middle. And that was a very complicated building for the basically volunteer crews.
For you guys.
Yeah, for us guys to build and to figure out how to do it. But we persevered. And in 1977, we started construction. And by July 4th of 77, we had our first event at the Octagon. It was a large platform with no roof, no ceiling, nothing. And Rosie Bosco came and played her sitar as the full moon was rising behind the Octagon. And the whole deck was full of people, and the surrounding grassland was populated by children running around and carrying on. And it was this wonderful kind of opening event.
And I love that vision.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah.
And so the Octagon got built between 1977 and 79. It's a large open space. It had two wings on it. One wing had the kitchen and bathrooms, ladies' bathroom. The other wing had an office and the men's bathroom, boys' bathroom. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, we moved the schools into the Octagon. And as Chestine just pointed out, it was pretty chaotic. It was pretty loud, but people were committed to an education that was relevant, mm-hmm. and both the kids and the adults. And there was a lot of participation by the community in the programs. And the outgrowth of that was that we needed another building for Children's House. And Michael and Judy Evanson got involved in designing the building that Children's House is now in. And we built that fairly quickly afterwards and moved Children's House into that building.
And that was in 1981.
That was in 81. Mm-hmm. And we continued our Montessori program in Children's House. And Skyfish got the Octagon. And the community was grumbling, saying, we want our community space. Mm-hmm. So that was a background rumble at the time, but we were able to keep persevering until eventually we got Skyfish out of the Octagon and built the Skyfish Elementary School building with the help of the community, both the Parkinson family in Redway and our lumber. And at that time, we got a lot of materials from Palco. Mm-hmm. And their retail yard, that was very helpful. And let me step back just an inch here. The Octagon was built by people donating trees off their land, mm-hmm. fir trees off their land. And Steve Daisy and Dan Thomas came with their mill and milled it into dimensional lumber. And that's the lumber that we used to actually construct the Octagon with. So lots of community involvement. And that kind of brings you up into the building and some of the buildings that we have there. So
I have a question about Skyfish, because if you haven't ever been to the Skyfish building, there's a huge, beautiful rock wall on the whole north side. And I always wonder, wow, did those hippies just really get together and build that rock wall?
The intention was a greenhouse, and the rock wall was to be a solar mass for the greenhouse. Oh, okay. Tom Grover, I think, was one of the main people that was in on that project, and there were a number of others, and they built that rock wall, and it's a beautiful wall.
It's still holding strong.
Oh, it's still holding. but the rest of that greenhouse project never came to fruition. And in the meantime, Skyfish was drooling for a space. And Jim Truitt came in.
Yeah.
Yeah. To help build that original Skyfish building.
Was that mostly also volunteers that built the building
was
of
all
Skyfish?
Other than Jim Truitt, it was all volunteers.
Wow, beautiful.
And then later the west wing of Skyfish was added on, and Dan Young and Jim Koch were the main builders of that building.
Wow.
So I'm going to break in here and just remind our listeners that we are here from Beginnings in Bryceland. Michelle Palazzo, Peter Rice, Julie Anderson, and myself, Chastine Anderson, no relation.
that we know of. No.
Talking about Beginnings and
a place we love.
Place we love dearly.
Place we love. So let's see.
And this is our 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
50th anniversary. We're going to have a big party at the end of June.
June 29th.
So
3 till 10 o'clock.
Yep. So come out and be part of the festivities.
Yeah,
we have a lot to celebrate. We really just listening to Peter tell this story. I know I've heard it before, but I don't get tired of it because I just think what a small group of people can do. And here we have this amazing campus. If you haven't been out there, please come out and visit us. It is beautiful. It's open spaces and happy children running around and happy adults watching them. It's a wonderful space for kids and
sometimes
adults.
Sometimes running around as well.
Yes. Quite often. But let's see what else. There's so many things on this list. The Ying Yang Pavilion, which was
that was built
in 93.
That was built in 93 as a taekwondo studio, a Ying Yang Pavilion that they built. There was a very active martial arts program at that time with Chris Giles and Andy Mesrith.
Yeah.
And quite a number of – there
were a lot of 25, 30
people involved in that program on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of focus and intention. And so they built this large – it's like 45 by – 50 by 45 feet pavilion, and used it as their dojo until everybody's knees blew out. And they couldn't do it anymore.
Couldn't run up that hill anymore. Which is now a huge classroom.
Which has been converted from a dojo into a classroom. It's this lovely, large classroom that's airy and open and lots of light and lots of room and any teacher's delight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great space. And that's been 6 years?
Something like
since
that.
Since we built the dojo. We still call it the dojo.
Yep.
You know, it's still a place of learning and discipline.
Yep.
So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about Children's House. That's where it all began.
Well, I haven't been here since the beginning, but I moved into this community in 1999, and I moved in with Peggy Iris, who is Gonesini.
Also on the board.
And
whose birthday it is today, excuse me.
Happy birthday,
Gonesini.
Gonesini, we love you. And her son, Bryce, and their dog, Maggie. And so I lived with them for 2.5 years and did work trade to be there. And I actually was introduced to the Beginnings community through them and came to the 25th anniversary with them and met the Beginnings community and have really been involved ever since. I started subbing at Children's House initially, and then Peter and Joanne kind of came after me and said, oh, you need to be on the staff. So I did some more schooling. I already had a bachelor's degree, but I did some more schooling and got my teaching credential for early childhood education and have been teaching now at Children's House since 2000.
Wow.
So it's been a while. And it's
You've
been
seen a lot
quite
of kids
the ride.
Through.
A lot of children have gone through and are now adults and bringing their own children back. So it's a little daunting at times. Now. But it's wonderful to see people, you know, stay in this community and raise their children and bring them back to Beginnings because they loved it there so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're involved as a parent, which is really wonderful. And that's one of the main things that really drew me to Beginnings and has kept me there is just the fact that it's really like a big family. It's a community of people who really care about each other and work together, collaborate, and are there for each other for, mm-hmm. through thick and thin. And I think that's a really important aspect of things, really important in life. And you don't find that in many places. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in four different states in this country and traveled all over the world, and I keep coming back here. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a good place to be. And
That's kind of how I felt when my children went to Beginnings also in Children's House starting in, let me see, Savannah went there. She's born in 87, 1990. And then my son Nick also went there. And I was a very involved parent all through Children's House and Skyfish. And just I loved the community it was. And all of my best friends came from Children's House. And they're still my best friends. And I want that for everybody. It is such a special thing. And then in my kids graduated, so I kind of graduated also and went off and did things in the community and would still come to Beginnings for events and whatnot, but, you know, wasn't as involved as I once was when my children were there. And then in 2009, a job I was doing was over, and one of the teachers there called me, and Mary Giardino, who was Peter's assistant, was leaving to move to Colorado, and would I be interested? And I was, I don't know. And I walked over, because I live in Bryson also, so it's the commute is fabulous. I walked over to Beginnings and sat with Peter on the deck and just had a nice conversation. And the feeling I had while I was sitting there, just being there again on the property and hanging out on the deck, was I came home. It felt like I came home. And so that spoke very loudly to me, and I'm like, yep, I'm going to take this job. So I jumped on board and worked with Peter for 3 years, and then he decided it was time for him to graduate, which didn't make me that happy, but graduate he did, and Alyssa came on board for a little while, Alyssa De Leon, and then she moved on to other things, and I made the big scary leap of, I think I can do it, but what makes it easier is the family that is there, the teachers and the staff are all so dedicated, and we're just there for each other, and I couldn't do it any other way. So it's a pretty special place to be. Still, I don't know how long. I don't think I'll do 39. He did 39 years. So
Peter.
Yeah, yes. 39 years, which is pretty wonderful. And he's still here.
He's still here.
Advising.
On the board.
On the board. So it's a pretty wonderful thing. So we have maybe you've been out for some of our annual events. We have at Beginnings, we have a first Saturday of December, we always have the Children's Winter Fair, which is a magical little event. And the first Saturday of May, we have the spring plant and yard sale type of thing. Those are the two that we have every year. And blessing ways and weddings and memorials, lots and lots of memorials lately, and it's just a special place to be in community. I often thought we needed a book that was called If These Walls Could Talk, because mm-hmm. there's so much community that has happened in that space. You know, we were talking, I've lived here a long time, and I think, well, everybody knows about Beginnings, right? I mean, you just think that if you've lived here so long, and it, you know, in the last several years, there's you know, been shifts in our community, and gosh darn it, there are people that have actually never been to Beginnings. So, which blows my mind because it's such a part of my life, you know. So, yeah. We're getting out there a little bit and introducing ourselves, and hey, come on out and see us, and bring your kids, hang out on the playground, and introduce yourselves, or come to some of the events that happen there. It's a great place.
So, one of the community things that we do is that Beginnings is a declared disaster center.
Yes.
And a Red Cross emergency center.
Mm-hmm.
We have some equipment there for disaster preparedness.
Yeah.
We do regular drills for disaster preparedness. We have a landing site for a helicopter. We have a 2-meter shortwave radio set up so that we can communicate mm-hmm. through that method if the phone and if the phones are down or cell phones are down,
mm-hmm.
we can still do that. We have a lot of children there every day, and so it's important that we have have those kind of protections and community plans in place.
Yeah.
I was talking about the some of the outgrowths from Beginnings. Beginnings Volunteer Fire Department was one of the first volunteer fire departments in the area.
Yeah.
And it was started 76, 77, something like that. Bryceland Fire is an outgrowth of the Beginnings Volunteer Fire Department. And they've just built their new fire station in Bryceland.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful facility. It has space for everything that the fire department needs, which we never had before.
I was just going to say it's just become such a vibrant, energetic
organization,
wonderful part of the firefighting crews in our area. A lot through the efforts of Tim Olson.
Yeah.
And Gerald Myers.
And Gerald Myers, for sure. And Merrill, who was on the radio for all those years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so many people, but it just kind of outgrew Beginnings and became its own entity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now it's not called Beginnings Volunteer Fire Department.
No,
it's Bryceland.
And it's great to have them right near the schools
because
if we need them, they're there, and that's an awesome feeling.
They are our insurance because the insurance is not working for us.
That's true.
The other thing that we did back in the 80s is we put together, under the Clean Water Bond Act, we upgraded the Bryceland water system, which at that time was just an open pond up on the hill and had a line running into town that people had their connections from.
It was nasty.
And the kids went swimming in it in the summertime.
And I bathed my children in it.
And people turned on their faucets, and sometimes an occasional frog would come out.
That's right.
How exciting.
So, oh, yeah, it was fun.
So we were able to get some of the California Water Bond money and put in a 42,000-gallon clear well up there, a slow sand filter to take the turbidity out of the water, and put in a new distribution line down to the town with 26 connections.
Yeah.
And we did that in the late 80s, I think it was. And now this year, that whole system is being upgraded with a new funding source. I'm not sure.
Okay, I am still on the Bryceland Community Services District Water Board. I'm the secretary treasurer for that. And, yeah, it's very exciting. Beginnings is actually going to get its very own fire hydrant. And there will be another 42,000-gallon clear well, plus I forget how many gallons, a steel bolted tank of raw water. So it's going to be tripling our water storage.
Mm-hmm. And a new distribution line to town, a 6-inch line.
Well, the fire thing is going to be 6-inch, which is state requirement now.
Yeah.
And the
must have been in the 90s, Peter, because Nick was born in 91. He had dirty bath water.
The district was actually formed in 89, but 89, then stuff didn't get built until, I think, 92, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here at 7:30, and we are people from Beginnings. We have Peter Rice. I'm Julia Anderson, Justine Anderson, and Michelle Palazzo, and we're here talking about Beginnings, our little magical organization that lives out in Beginnings. We're housed on 85 acres. We have a California State preschool program, Montessori inspired. We are a K-12 charter school.
Not K-12.
A K-6 charter school with Northern United Humboldt Charter School. We call ourselves Skyfish. They call us Bryceland Learning Center, so we have two different names. Don't be confused. And we have the Octagon, which is our community center where all kinds of things can happen. Just give me a call. We rent it out. We have really good rental rates, I think, and it's a fabulous place for your next celebration or party. So give us a call at 707-923-3617 if you're interested in learning more about our facilities and organizations.
And speaking of calling, if you want to call in and ask us any questions or have any comments, stories, please do. Now's the time.
And that number is
3911?
3911?
923.
3911, says the girl without a cell phone. Says the girl without a cell phone.
Okay, 3911. All right.
Anybody go to Beginnings out there? I know there's a few hundred of you.
Some of the most fun that I've had in this area has definitely been in the Octagon. When I first came here, I mean, I love to dance, and when I moved here, it was a much smaller place than I've ever lived. I mean, small sounds weird. Rural.
Less populated?
I came from Portland, Oregon before here, so I would go out dancing all the time, and there wasn't really that. And I went to many boogies at Beginnings and just had so much fun.
Yeah.
And we still, you know, can make that happen with a lot of different activities there. So
we did African dance there for, my goodness, 30 years or something crazy like that, every Monday night.
So much fun.
So much fun. It's I will say, as a dancer, it is the best dance floor in Southern Humboldt County.
I can add that it's also a wonderful place for doing Tai Chi.
Yes,
I do that there every week. And it's a great floor for that activity as well. And the yoga people like it too.
Yeah. Oh, we had that wonderful event last weekend.
Yeah. Bhakti Fest.
Yep, the Bhakti Fest. Actually, this week there's for kids, there is a clown workshop. And there is an instructor from Del Arte up in Blue Lake, which is physical comedy, and Ilaria, and Jason, who are one of our parents at Skyfish, are putting on this really fun clown workshop for kids from 10 till 3 Thursday and Friday. And then they're going to be in the rodeo parade. So I believe there is still space there. If you want to come out, please be at the Octagon at 10 o'clock tomorrow and bring a lunch and bring some water and bring a great attitude for a fun couple of days.
So speaking of other things, Michelle is looking for someone to work with her.
Yes.
Oh, talk about that. Let's give a little plug for that job.
Difficult that is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the head teacher at Children's House and have been for a while, but I used to share that position with Allison Jones, who's fabulous, and, you know, after 40 years of working there, you know, decided to retire, and rightly so. And then soon after, the pandemic hit, and so a lot of, you know, interesting shifts have happened and so forth, but I'm basically, you know, the teacher there. Not that I don't have excellent aides who work with me and I trust, you know, thoroughly with the children and so forth, but we need that credential there. And so we're always looking for someone else to work with me and who has at least 24 ECE, early childhood education units, and can really, you know, has a love of working with children, because it's nice to be able to collaborate with someone, but also to be able to take a break. Mm-hmm. And since we're a year-round program and we're only closed on 10 federal holidays, it's nice to be able to have some space from the children that I love so much so I can get rejuvenated.
Oh, we have a great – the yard at Children's House is a wonderful place. They've created this great garden that the children take a big part in, actually. They plant it. They work the soil and plant it and graze it and harvest it. And
we make all sorts of fun things out of there.
They make pesto. We've got a bunch of apple trees. We've done a lot of big apple pressing with all of the kids in both schools, which are really a fun day.
We have an herb garden.
Yeah.
And we got a grant some years ago to make a wildlife garden for all those pollinators and so forth, who are so important to pollinate the apple trees and all the other things in the yard. We have a picking garden so the kids can actually pick bouquets without picking all the flowers in the yard. We concentrated it.
Yeah.
So they can pick flowers.
And they do.
And make bouquets.
Yeah. And they do. Yeah, it's just a wonderful place. It just is.
So, yeah, if you're interested in working at Children's House and you have those qualifications, give Julia a call. We'd love to meet you. I know someone's out there.
Is there anybody out there?
So one of the things that Beginnings has always done is to promote and encourage community services. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of our motto, to promote and encourage community services. And one of the things we did early on was we were the fiscal sponsor and the organizational sponsor for VVRP, which was the Vietnam Veterans mm-hmm. Restoration Project, which was the first American project that happened in Vietnam when the local vets decided to go back there and build a health clinic. Mm-hmm. And Beginnings was the sponsor of that organization and of that program. A lot of people don't know that. We also had in the early stages of Redwoods Rural Health Center, they came to Beginnings to see if we would be the fiscal and organizational sponsor for the health center. And then we realized that our
mission
was really very different, and that wouldn't be a good fit. And so they started Redwoods Rural.
What was this, Peter? What was the international project in India that Beginnings was part of?
That was a project that David Katz was involved with, and Jared Rossman, and Hari Pandey, who was at that time the owner of Astral Travel in Garberville. That was a travel agency. Mm-hmm. He's now something else. he's become a spiritual teacher in Sonoma. Mm-hmm. But the project was we went to India and went to one of the rural villages near Benares and sponsored a Karanja Nali work, which was the open sewers in the open sewers, just drainage pits from the various houses, just went out onto the streets. And so what we sponsored was a stone-lined drainage ditch. That's what would go into it. At least it didn't flow down the road. We also put up solar panels near the well. The women from the village had to walk quite a distance to the main drinking well to mm-hmm. get the water, and they had to pull it up on these very long ropes and carry it on their head. And we brought solar panels there to actually help run the pumps so that the water could come up onto the ground level.
So cool.
It was awesome. It was a fun project. Mm-hmm. It had to do with, you know, Hari's involvement with mm-hmm. India. And I had been in India for 6 years before I came here. And so I had a connection there, too. And so Beginnings was the sponsor for this project that we went over there and did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
So you being in India is kind of like you brought that educational methodology, right, to this community?
The Montessori training.
Dr. Montessori, who was an Italian physician and founded the educational method that carries her name now, mm-hmm. She was invited by the Sarabhai family, which is a very wealthy industrial family, textile family in India. They had invited her out to come and give a training course in India in 1939. And she was there when war broke out in Europe. She being an Italian and India at that time being British, she was interned as an enemy alien. And so she was confined in India during the war as an enemy, being Italian. And she just continued running these training courses in several different places, finally winding up in Madras, which is now called Chennai. And she trained many, we talk about kindergarten education in this country. In India, they talk about Montessori education for early childhood education. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she at the end of the war in 1946, shortly after the war ended, there was a training course in Karachi where she was at that time. And she wanted to go back to Europe because the war was over and that's where she came from, and mm-hmm. she had interests there. And she called a man named Abs Yostin, who was a young man who grew up in her home, and his mother had started the first Montessori school in Holland, asked him to come out to finish the training course. He came out to India to finish the training course, never left. He fell in love with India, fell in love with the training of the Montessori programs, and moved every couple of years, would move around to different cities, Calcutta, Bombay, Bangalore, you know, different cities. And the training course would be there for a couple of years, then move on. And at one point, I was looking for a reason to – I was in Nepal. I wanted to come back to India. Didn't have the right visa. Heard about this training course that was happening in Hyderabad and that I could get a student visa, really having no interest in the program, just wanted to get back to India. So we went back to India with the student visa, went to Hyderabad, and checked in at the training course just out of interest. And this guy was a medium. He was a medium for the Montessori method and the whole educational thinking that Maria Montessori had. And we were hooked, lined, and sinkered, and never left it. So
we even have some of the original materials that you brought back from India.
Right. And it's
so cool. They're just as good as
they could use a paint job.
They might need a paint job.
they have many hands have been on them over the years.
Yeah,
but they're definitely good quality.
Yep.
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
Good That's old wonderful. Wooden, good wooden materials. We love them.
And so one of the focuses that we had was that education needs to be relevant. Mm-hmm. And education needs to have buy-in by the children and the families. Mm-hmm. And that's something that isn't always
easy.
Can't always occur in the public system because it's too big.
Yeah.
And by staying small and having a focus of interchange between the children and the adults, mm-hmm. and having standards, you know, having standards and having a certain quality that you wanted to maintain all the way along, mm-hmm. and bringing in teachers like Justine and Michelle to help continue bringing that kind of quality. We've been able to maintain a program for over 50 years that that has been very relevant and has children coming out of our program that are focused, that are polite, that know what they need and what they want, and know how to ask for it in a way that is comfortable for other teachers.
Can be heard.
Can be heard, yes. And these kids have gone on. You can ask the teachers at Miranda mm-hmm. and at the high school. These kids have always done very well, mm-hmm. the kids who came out of our programs. Mm-hmm. And they've gone on to be doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and great ditch diggers, you know, which is really important.
They're all important. Yeah. All of it is.
One of the things that we did many years ago is the parents came to us and said, you know, school takes so much time. We don't have enough time as a family. And that's when we went to a four-day-a-week program.
Just fabulous.
And it allowed families to have, you know, more family time with their children, to do different types of projects that they can't mm-hmm. do when you only have a weekend. Mm-hmm. And still we were able to provide a quality education in the 4 days. That's changing now, I understand, because, you know, part of the function of schools is childcare mm-hmm. because families have to work.
And that's just for Skyfish. Children's House is there 5 days a week.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. I love we all love the 4 day a week, but are also seeing that it's not quite as easy for families that maybe work, both parents are working now. And we call that day an independent study day now. And the kids have things to work on with their families or with their friends at home.
Yeah, so I want to just remind our listeners once again that we are here from Beginnings in Bryceland. Michelle Palazzo, Peter Rice, Julie Anderson, and myself, Justine Anderson. And just talking about the wonderful place that is Beginnings.
And how we're coming up to our 50th anniversary.
Yeah, so we need to talk about the party. Yeah.
I was June met with, 29th.
Met with Rupta today, and for those of you who've been in Bryceland, in at the beginnings when you walk into the entryway, all the beautiful tiles that are there, made by so many different people who contributed to the
renovation drive.
Yeah, when we needed to move out of our little teeny kitchen and make a big commercial kitchen, so we had to raise a lot of money for that. And people who donated could build a tile, paint a tile.
I think we have a call. It sounds like
okay.
We'll talk more about the party in a minute.
So,
hi.
Hi there. I was just listening and love what you guys have been saying and what you are about. I suspect that perhaps we've lost a number of young families, you know, having to move out of the area because of the economic downturn and so forth. And what it got me thinking about was that I know there's got to be a lot of kids out there that are troubled in other parts of the country that need to get away from wherever their situation is, and thought if there was a way to, basically it would be a whole nother kind of, I don't know if you call it a business model or not, but a
boarding school
model to basically have like housing for kids from out of the area, and I'm sure there's wealthy people out there who would be looking for an alternative to the status quo in terms of education and service more people. And I realize that's not going to happen with, you know, the infrastructure and personnel who are there right now.
Right.
But
certainly a worthy cause, though. Certainly a lot of kids out there that could use to be in the countryside with good, clean water and air and kind people.
Yeah, and small class sizes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're really blessed in Humboldt in general. I'm up here in northern Humboldt, and I'll just say, you know, we really are blessed with a lot of good, educational opportunities for our kids here. And I find most the young Humboldtians that I meet, you know, the new generation, basically being very, like, beautiful people in terms of being intelligent and considerate and, trusting is another thing. It's just it's a beautiful place to raise kids, and I think what you guys provide is an amazing thing for anybody who happens to be able to take advantage of that. And
I agree
you could expand. All right, well, and my last comment is I think Bryceland is going to be the up and coming, like, revered place to be, and I think, you know, in terms of its location between even the people there. But
hey, it's been a happening place in the history too. Bryson's been a happening place.
Right on.
Hey, okay, we have a great Thursday market there too.
Yay. Cool. Thanks for being there, you guys.
Thank you. Come on down to our party.
Come on down to our party. June 29th at the beginning's octagon.
Sounds good. I'll listen for the details.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was talking about the tiles that are up in the entryway now. So people who want to contribute $50 or more towards our scholarship fund, and this year 3 scholarships were given, right?
Yep.
So if you contribute $50 or more, you can come and make a tile that will be mounted in the entryway. There's still room for more tiles there. And boy, it is so amazing to look at the ones that are up there now and look at all the stories that they tell.
Mm-hmm. We should talk a little bit about the scholarship.
It's just amazing. So, yeah, you can come and paint a tile at the actual party, Or you can paint it. We're going to set up a later date, probably in July sometime.
Great.
Or you can draw a design and have somebody else paint it. Or you can have put in your name and have a local artist plan and paint your design.
Great.
Or you can mail in a design and somebody local will paint it for you.
So many options.
Tile project really is amazing. Every time I walk out of that octagon, I swear I see a tile I haven't seen before. It is a beautiful, beautiful wall of tiles. I'm excited to see it grow, actually.
I am, too.
Yeah.
Because just looking at it today as we were there and looking at all the stories, and now some of those kids are who painted, you know, Rupta was there looking at Jasmine's, and now she's 28, you know.
We're going to have a fun party. It's in the planning stages still, but it's going to be from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 10 at night. There'll be music. There will be food. There will be stories. I think we're going to have a little place set up for, you know, maybe people don't want to get up on stage and talk in a microphone. We're going to hopefully have a little place set up so we can tape people's stories or memories of beginnings.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just a nice history.
Oh, yeah. I asked my son, so what's your biggest memory? And he said, oh, the canoe trips.
Yeah.
He said, now, we could never have those canoe trips now.
No.
It just wouldn't be okay. But he remembered about going over, piling all the canoes in the pickup trucks, and going over to Alder Point. Putting the canoes in the water.
No permission slips. How lovely.
The kids all wore life jackets, but all their gear was in plastic garbage bags. Put in three or four kids and one adult in the canoes and go off down the Eel River to spend a couple nights on the river.
Hey, right now Skyfish is out at Away Park. We end our school year every year it's really the last week of school, so it's still school. But we choose to go on a family camp out, and we just came back from there this morning. Lots of them are still there, but it is such an amazing place and a great river. Today, as I was leaving, they were going on their flotilla, floating down the Matole, and just so many smiles and crazy-looking floaties. And so we still do some fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know,
maybe we don't go hiking with no food, but we do some fun stuff.
No, I was just going to bring that one up there. Jan and Tony and I think Al was on that, led a Skyfish camp out to – they went to Black Sands Beach and then went up the beach towards
Big Flat. Yeah.
But the focus of the thing was no food. We're going to just eat what we find along the way.
We're not bringing any food.
We're not bringing any food.
No peanut butter.
No chocolate
no bread.
Bars. Okay, we got another call. Let's see what we got here.
Hi there.
Hi, it's Rupta, finally.
Hi, Rupta.
Hi, Rupta.
How are you?
I'm good.
Now, Rupta, you're on the board for the second time, right? You were on the board, and then you left, and now you're back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was for a long time, all the time, past Jasmine even.
Yeah.
Had to leave until Skyfish to go to the public school. I still stayed on and we did the
thank you
kitchen and on. Yeah, I just listened to the last half of the, unfortunately. I just want to say, I think beginnings was a big part of me deciding to move here. Mm-hmm. The people I met there, and it is still a big part of me why I still live here.
Nice.
For me, beginnings is the community, and it spreads all around in many aspects. Also, fire department. So it's really, we live in a wonderful little town. It's a great community, which is grown through beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I see parents from that time of Skyfish or even Children's House, there is still that warm feeling and that connectedness there.
Yeah.
So I must say Beginnings is absolutely necessary with all its services. And I'm very proud of it.
Thank you.
You guys are amazing who work there
create
that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rupta.
And we're not that far out there. Even though you might feel like you are, it's really 10 minutes from Redway, folks.
It's
interesting. In the last couple of years, I've heard, oh, my God, it's all the way out in Bryson. And I'm like, what? It's just 10 minutes. You probably drive that to get a cup of coffee. I would.
It's a nice drive.
And I know gas is expensive, but still. It's
worth the drive.
It's worth the drive. And on that note, I do want to say that we have openings at Children's House, and we'd love to have people give Julia a call at 923-3617 to have your children 2.5 to 5 years old enrolled at Children's House. Come talk to Julia.
Yeah, come look around. I'll show you around.
And there's also openings at Skyfish, too.
There are some, especially in our older grades, 3 through 6. We definitely have some openings. We could talk maybe kindergarten.
Yeah.
First and second's pretty full, but yeah, if you're interested or looking to make a change, come out and talk to us, and I'll show you around. And, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking when we're talking about how much we love it here. You know, we'll get visits from the states, you know, the state or people from Sacramento or wherever. And they're always like, when they come up the driveway, they just can't believe what we have. And I hear that almost every time one of these entities come to school or to Beginnings. And they're always just like, wow, this exists? Wow. They're pretty blown away, which always feels funny to me. But they get it. You know, they recognize that we really have built something special.
Did we plug the kitchen? You know,
we have a beautiful kitchen.
A few years ago, John Bruno headed up a construction crew that built a large commercial kitchen.
A few years ago, Peter.
It's been longer than a few years ago.
2008.
It's just a few years ago.
Time flies. It's no longer
a galley kitchen, which we put a lot of meals out from that galley kitchen.
That's right.
But it also, you can also rent the kitchen. It is a beautiful kitchen.
That's what I wanted to say. The kitchen's available for rental for anybody that needs a commercial kitchen.
Yeah, it gets used. It gets used.
It's open. It's airy. And it's a wonderful space to be in.
Yeah, it really is.
So let's promote the party.
The
50th anniversary party for Beginnings will be on June 29th.
Saturday
from 3 in the afternoon. There'll be music, dancing,
tile making.
Lots of food, tile making, video making.
And
a gathering.
Seeing people you haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, a gathering
of many people from far off places.
We're looking at it as like a reunion, hopefully, that we get some people to come back. But
we invite new people who've never been to Beginnings as well. Please come.
Oh, it'll be a good introduction.
It'll be a great introduction.
From Redway, you take the Shelter Cove Road. And it's only about 6.5 miles.
No, it's not even.
Not even.
It's not even 6 miles.
Yeah. 6 miles.
It's almost 6 miles.
And it's the Bryson Thorn Road.
Yeah.
Until you get to Whitethorn Junction, and then it's the Shelter Cove Road.
Okay.
True. Anyway, hopefully you can see or have heard how much we love Beginnings. It's been a special place to the four of us in this room, and I know a special place to the four of us in this room, and I know a special place to